Hey, this is Daniel, and you're listening to Rushing Forward.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Rushing Forward podcast. I know it's been a while. The podcast has been on quite the hiatus. I have been nursing my wisdom tooth, and I think I am okay to be back on speaking and talking to awesome people. Today, I'm very honored to have Jonathan Bakebwa. He is a Ugandan computer science student at the Beijing Institute of Technology, 24 years old, and is the creator and maintainer of Vue libraries like Chakra UI, Vue, and Breadstick. And you need to tell me more about Breadstick.
Oh yeah.
And as if that's not enough, he is also the co-founder of Akadu. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's accurate. Akadu.
Okay. Yeah, Akadu, which is a platform for providing simultaneous interpretation as a service, remote simultaneous interpretation as a service, which I think we'll get into a bit in depth later on. He's also a co-founder of the Beijing Vue.js meetup in China. He loves God and loves people. He plays the guitar, sings, and codes in his free time. I mean, with all this, do you even have free time?
I'm trying to. Like, I'm trying to learn to manage my time better.
And how is that working out for you?
I think it's going on. You know, it's going on a lot better now. I mean, there were times I was like sleeping at ridiculous hours. I mean, I still do every now and then. But like, at least now I kind of feel I have more control over my day. I've been like trying to learn a bit about what I can do to like manage my time. And I'm not like perfect at it yet, but I feel like I'm making progress. Yeah,
it's always a journey, to be honest. My time is just all over the place. it's been super crazy these past few weeks. But yeah, I'm very grateful to have you. Very happy to have you. I don't even know where to start. Seriously, like, wow. One, for starters, I find it really great that I'm talking to an open source maintainer of such an amazing open source project like Chakra UI, who is from Africa, because you don't see that very often.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you really don't. And I think it was also one of my like initial motivations, you know, to be honest.
And how did you get into open source, actually?
Well, I really like didn't see it as like, you know, like, oh, I want to get into open source, I guess, at the beginning. You know, like I think I've been doing like web development for about I think I started maybe beginning of 2018. That was the beginning. Yeah. So.
Also, how long have you been programming?
Yeah, around that time, really. Around that time, maybe it started maybe end of 2017, beginning of 2018. That's when it like really got like, okay, now I need to like be serious about what I'm doing. But I'd been doing design before, so like my like motivation was, because I was doing like freelance work, was to you know, turn like my designs into like code so I could charge more, you know, from my clients.
Yeah,
so that was my my initial motivation. And somewhere along the way I picked up Vue, and I guess it's when around the time that I started, you know, I started working on Akadu with my other co-founders. And during this time, like, I was the only front end developer, so I had to like hone my skills very fast, like really quickly, and in the field. So a lot of nights with debugging stuff, a lot of things, and especially because, like, you know,
imagine.
Yeah, you know, especially because, like, you know, it's Vue.js, and Vue is, you know, relatively new, and there's like not much tooling in the community. So when I saw that, I was
Yes. What year was that when you were doing this?
Maybe when I started when I started realizing this was probably around the middle of 2019. This is when I realized, because we adopted Vue maybe at the end of 2018, beginning of coming into 2019.
Like around that time, I think that's about the time I started writing Vue code. Also, 2018, yeah, late second quarter of 2018, I just started writing Vue code, and that was around the time where I got like my first gig as a developer advocate. And a lot of that was like engaging the Vue community, and it was a company that works with GraphQL. And the tooling part was the problem because Apollo GraphQL was not as mature as it is now. And there was like, I was literally searching, like scouring the internet for documentation or examples or tutorials on how to do this so that I can, you know, better serve the community and help with people who are trying to integrate like GraphQL into Vue applications. And there was literally nothing. And it was me just debugging and looking at how things happened in React and then trying to, you know, like write code Vue. And then like eventually that worked out. But yeah, there's been so much growth in the Vue community and I'm super proud.
Yeah, man. Like what you're saying is like literally, I think it's my entire experience in Vue open source related like stuff. Anytime I go into like tooling, because you know I'm really inspired a lot by the React community because they have, first of all, it's like big, and they have a lot of success with a lot of things, and I think it would be like we'd cheat ourselves if we didn't like borrow from them some of these things, some of these ideas. So I do spend a lot of time like just looking at like React code. But fun fact, like actually my first like framework was React. I tried to learn React and I didn't like it, to be honest. So I like gave it like a rest, and that's when I decided to pick up Vue because it was like easy out of the box. So now I can now write React code, but like at the beginning was crazy.
Just like JSX was something else for me.
Yeah,
I used to do React and React Native, and React Native wasn't as mature as it is now, and was even more of a pain than Vue.js. But yeah.
Yeah, it's really amazing to like see now more people adopting Vue and like it's really cool. And I remember at the time there wasn't like a lot of like, you know, tooling for all this stuff. So I would have to like read React code and like figure out how to make this in Vue. I had gone through like tutorials on like on Vue Mastery, and like I'd gone through all the deep stuff, like I'd gone through everything. Just trying to like understand, like I'd gotten to a point where I was now like reading the source code of like some parts of Vue or other things, just trying to like understand a bit more of like what exactly is going on, and other React libraries as well. And so that's when like for me, like the thing, once it clicked, when I understood, so this is what they are doing, now trying to like make that into like a Vue paradigm, like, you know, trying to put that inside like a Vue kind of, you know, point of view, point of view, JS.
Yeah, viewpoint.
Yeah, trying to do that, like, kind of became something I think was almost second nature. Like now, if I see like a library like just done in React that I think is done well, I feel like it can be done even better in Vue. Like that's just my like way of thinking. Like I know React does some things amazingly well, but I think Vue exposes like a lot of power to you know, a user, I guess. Consumers and to library authors. So that was like that was like what like pushed me into like, okay, let me just make these things myself. See, let's see if it even works at all. Will it even work?
And it sure did. How did you get from there to like even thinking about writing Chakra UI Vue?
The story of Chakra is like really interesting. I remember at the beginning, I was, because I'm working at Akadu, and I was thinking of like, because we had gotten a point where like our CSS files were like very huge and like bloated, like tens of thousands of lines.
We're using like the CSS in like the style tag.
Yeah,
in Vue files, or it was like separate.
Yeah, at the time, I think we hadn't even adopted like Vue. Like, so this is at the time I was really thinking about, we need to do something about the CSS, because like I honestly, to be honest with you, I don't like writing CSS. I think it's cool. No, like to be honest, it's really cool. It's amazing. But like for me, like the repetitiveness and like the boilerplateness of it, like, you know, like it takes too long to write like margin bottom 10 pixels. You know, it takes so long.
Yeah, when you can just place something in, you know, a tag.
Yeah, and
have it work the way you want it.
Yeah, you know, so like around this time, this is around Tailwind UI was released. So I saw Tailwind and immediately I thought, I love this thing. I love it because like it's reducing the amount of code that you have to write. It's also it also doesn't like, because one of the things I was struggling with was that you know, if you don't approach like your styling from a utility point of view, like most likely you'll have your CSS very tightly coupled with your HTML. So if you change something in the HTML, you have to rewrite your CSS, right? Or if you change something in the CSS, it affects how things are going to appear in your markup. Like, you know, like it was too tightly coupled. And I so you couldn't refactor anything without having to like scroll. Is this the line where I wrote that? Oh, no, it must be. Oh, let me just open the browser, find the dev tools, find the, you know, the style, look at the class name, then go open VS Code, search the class name, find the class, then look for the style and say, ah, I repeated that style here because I copy-pasted this thing. And so this is the one. So finally remove it. And then you do it on mobile. And the bug is still there. I made a breakpoint. I forgot to go back and remove it. And so you go back to the breakpoint and then do the same thing. And like that's because of like how tightly coupled it can become. I mean, it works if you're doing like a small scale thing. But if you, I feel if you want to go fast, for me, that's the thing that sold me on utility-based styling, right? Because you're simply styling on utilities. Like I don't have to like rewrite this MB for like margin bottom 10 pixels like 40 times. I don't have to like do that for any time that I need it. I just like use a class that already exists that does this for me. And so Tailwind started to open my mind into like ways of like doing this. And so along that time, I made like a small thing in our company, like a prototype of like Tailwind, because like we couldn't like integrate Tailwind fully because of how massive it is, and we couldn't like reshake it because we already had our own CSS in it. So I just made like a small version of it that gives us the commonly used like utilities, which we still use to this day. Around that time, I felt like, okay, I need something like this in Vue, but that can allow me to like flesh out components like a lot faster, UI components in general, and give me like a lot of control on the theming. Because Tailwind, like its sale of point for me, like what the value the Tailwind UI gave me was the utility based style, and that was good. And now what I needed to have was like the control over the theme. Like that's the next thing I wanted to have. Like you do have access to the theme tokens in Tailwind, and you can change them, and you can reference
it's
them.
It's quite different.
Yeah, but it's a bit different when you're running them in like JavaScript. You have a lot more control. You can do very specific things. And like you write a lot less code, to be honest. Like that was the feeling that's what I wanted to have in like a library. So I started by making like a small prototype of this thing, then I came across Chakra UI. Someone, I think I was, you know, I follow a lot of things. I started using Twitter around 2019. So
that's how we connected.
Right. And I saw this library called Chakra UI View. Everyone on Twitter is talking about Chakra UI. Sorry, everyone is talking about it. And so like, oh, what's this thing? So I find that the guy who made it is you know Segun Adebayo. I'm from Nigeria. I'm like, wow, this is a Nigerian guy. He made this really awesome library. So I'm okay, cool. Everyone's talking about it. Let me try it. And I went to the docs. I was immediately sold on the idea. And I'd already had like a similar working prototype. So I remember I reached out to him and I said, hey man. On Twitter, it was a long message. I was like, yo, if you have like some time for like a call on Zoom, I have some questions to ask you, because I'm working on a component library based on Vue.js that looks very similar to what you're doing with like Chakra UI View and with Chakra UI, and I'm curious to hear like what your thought was. What was your like school of thought when you were building this component library? I didn't even want to like ask him. What the tools he used, because you could see them, I think, in the code. I just really wanted to see what was his goal, like what was the goal of this library.
Yeah. And what's his thought pattern? What approach was he taking?
Yeah, and that's when he started talking about accessibility, and he talked about like this, this constraint-based design and styling, and these were all things that resonated with me. In fact, I think I started to understand accessibility a lot more after I started working with Chakra UI. So huge shout out to Segun Adebayo. He's one of the best engineers I know, and he's also a really nice and friendly guy. Like, there are not many people that you can reach out to on Twitter and say, hey, you built this thing. I know you don't know me, but like, I would love to get on a call with you so you can like tell me what you were thinking when you made this thing. Yeah, really. And so as I continued working on this library, I've been working with Segun, for some time now, bouncing ideas and sharing like things. I'm really excited about the future of Chakra UI today. And so that was when we decided, you know what, let's just merge this thing and let's make it one. And because we gain more by having like a unified community, and we reduce the amount of work done across like library, right? So we're thinking of ways to do that. So there's lots of exciting future plans, and that's how like Chakra UI as a library came. And for me, like the goal was to just make it easy to build accessible applications, and I want to be able to use Chakra UI on a project and not worry about the design system. Like, you know, I can change it if I want to. Like, I don't have to worry about... That was my gripe with, like, a lot of other libraries that I'd used. Like, you pull the thing in, and then once you start writing your CSS, you realize your CSS does not have the same level of specificity than the internal library CSS. So now you have to do, like, lots of hacks, you know, to, like, target that thing so you can change the way the button looks. So for me, like, the selling point was if I want to, like, build, like, a library that looks... an application that looks entirely different, I can use the same library to do it. So that was that for me, that was the goal, without like rebuilding everything from scratch.
That's amazing. And I'll be very honest with you, I have not built anything with Vue UI yet. I mean, Chakra UI Vue. Because I mean, like you, I really like Tailwind, and Tailwind has been my go-to for the past 6-7 months. And
yeah,
I've been seeing Gift built, she did like a video on Chakra UI Vue, and I had a look at that, and it just seemed better. I don't know, maybe it's the novelty of it all, or, you know, that shiny new thing. But seriously, I'm just reading through the documentation and having a look at the components you have, and
awesome.
It's all very well done, and like, I'm imagining building applications right now, just looking at the components. I'm like, okay, that goes there and this goes there. And I'm like, it's this easy?
Yeah, man. Like, the goal is to, like, make it simple. I really appreciate you saying that, because, like, for me, it makes me happy to hear that, oh, man, somebody saw this and, like, you haven't even built an app, but, like, you can already see so much potential, right? And I think for me that kind of hits the goal. The freedom to, like, yo, there's this library that you can use. You don't have to rebuild all your stuff from scratch. Just consume the thing and, like, make it. And, like, you can change how it looks, you can change how it feels, and without, like, going through lots of hacks. And even if you decide to, like, combine Chakra with, like, Tailwind, you can still do it. And you would still have, like, a fairly good, like, performance, actually, because Chakra only loads, like, the styles you need. It only imports the components you use. So you can have a very small application, and you can also... still get like your normal tree shaking with Tailwind UI, with Tailwind CSS. So like if you want to, you can do it. Like, I mean, you don't have to, but like, you can. Like,
that is Nuxt support. I've been using Nuxt. I've been singing all the praises about Nuxt of late.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Really enjoying using Nuxt, and I'm excited about where it's going.
I love.
So excited.
Yes, I really do. Yeah. Sebastian
I
does
saw
really
your...
work with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, this is something I want to touch on later on, like the whole open source ecosystem and where it's going, which is super amazing. And like I just want to point out that, like, I saw your work yesterday in the Worldview, the Worldview Discord server, and I saw everyone singing praise for your amazing and you gave a talk.
Oh yeah,
at one of the meetups.
Oh yeah, thank you, Matt. Thanks. Yeah, I actually did. It was just last night, actually.
How was that?
Ah, man, like my battery almost died, Daniel. In the middle of the talk, like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of the talk, my battery almost died. Like, it was like dying. I was seeing it. Like, man, I need to finish this talk. And like people in the chat, because you know I can't see the chat while I'm presenting. People in the chat were like, "Yo, let's see how long you can go with it without like without his battery dying." And like, yeah. People were like cheering for the battery. They, you know, it was funny. It was really funny. But yeah, like,
that's so nice.
Yeah, I'm glad. Like, that, I mean, somebody said, "Hey, you know, you can like go get your charger." Like, okay, cool. So I ran and grabbed my charger and like went ahead and did the talk and finished it. It was actually, you know, like when I was preparing for it, like I was really looking for like what's the best way I can like show the value of Chakra UI. I do want to do like slides. Like, cause you can do slides, but like I think most people kind of want to see what the dev experience is like, right?
Yeah,
that's like the
I'm also a fan of live coding.
Yeah,
it's very dangerous.
Yeah, it really is, you know. So I was like thinking, okay, let me just not do slides, let me just show the thing, and let me just get started. And I decided to use Code Sandbox because, like, if it works in a Code Sandbox, it's most likely going to work with, like, a local project, you know, with over that bad internet and, like, over, like, you know, I just wanted to make it as raw as possible. Like, this is how easy it is. So, yeah, it was great. It was nice. I had only 30 minutes. I remade the Vercel login page from scratch.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Where can I watch this?
It's probably on YouTube. You can see it. Yeah, I did it in like a couple of, I think like maybe like 10 minutes with like a dying battery. It was so funny. And it was, the pressure was so much.
That is such a thing. Is everyone listening? Is everyone listening to you? He was online in front of like so many people,
yeah,
live coding on a low battery, building Vercel's login page. That's such a flex.
I know, man. Like, yeah, it was really, honestly, it was crazy. I was excited that I was even able to do that, in like that like short amount of time. So yeah, I was proud of that. Like, I was worried I was not going to be able to do it, to be honest, because I had done it before, like just before the talk. It took me slightly more than I had originally planned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also discovered, I'm thankful because I discovered a solution to, because currently, like, you know how Chakra UI doesn't like register all components. You have to import them and register them. So
yeah,
I came across this thing that Vuetify uses. Somebody mentioned it. Shout out to, I think his name is Jacek or something like that. I'm sorry if I butchered his name.
Yeah,
yeah, he said that, like, you know, Vuetify uses, it has its own loader that allows you to like dynamically register and import components that you use in the template. So you don't have to like import the component. You could just type the beginning tag and Vuetify's loader will be like, oh, so he typed this, and then it will import the component and then register it in the template that you're using it on the fly. So it's a lot work. It's a lot less like work that you need to do. And so now I discovered that. I'm sure if that would have cut, I think, probably the length of that demo in like maybe to like three quarters the length. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's something to work on.
Yeah, it is. I was actually, just before you called me, I was already looking into the source code for that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That is like, your tenacity is inspiring. It is seriously inspiring. And okay,
oh,
very tech. Like, I really wanted to go in like a different direction, but I've got a very burning question.
Yeah.
I haven't, because like I said, I haven't used Chakra UI View. Is there a VS Code extension for like an IntelliSense style thing?
For IntelliSense. So we currently do not have one yet, but we're working on adding Vita support. So what will happen is that when you install Chakra UI View, Vita will automatically start to like suggest, once you open the tag and begin it with a C, Vita will begin to like suggest to you the names of components and different style props. So it's something we're working on. We haven't yet like done it fully, but yeah, we're still working on it. So I don't think we need an extension to be able to do that, but it would be nice to have something
built in. Another flex.
Yeah, but yeah, we're working on it. We're working on it, Daniel, and I promise we'll have it very soon.
Thank you. I'm very looking forward to that, and I really can't wait to try Chakra UI View.
Cool.
In like a totally different direction.
Yeah.
I want to hear your opinions on open source in Africa.
Maybe be a bit more specific.
I left it open in general because I want to hear like your opinions on where you think it's at, like what problems are there, what are they doing right.
I see.
How do you, like, it's definitely not as prevalent as it is in a lot more in like other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just want to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I see. Cool. Yeah, this is something I feel is close to my heart. There's many things. I personally feel that the capacity that we have in Africa is, I think, beyond phenomenal. I think the most tenacious people I have met are from Africa. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I've seen some of the like most tenacious engineers that I know, people come up with like really interesting solutions to problems people who have. They're like probably the most determined lot of people. I like yesterday I was joking with Segun, and he was like, man, like there's something about like the African energy. He called it like African energy, you know. like if we set our hearts to like, you know, let's get things done, you know, we'll do it. And like I do think so. I do believe, because you know, I've not been home for in a long time really, and I started doing open source like later on, and so all this time I've been like discovering more and more about the open source community back home, the things that we're working on. I feel Nigeria has really gone ahead in a lot of things, and I think they're doing a great job, you know, helping bring more countries as well to like, you know, to contribute more. I know Rwanda is doing well. I know South Africa is doing well. I know Kenya is doing well. Uganda, I know a few people. You know, I don't know many people doing open source there. I know some people in Congo. I know at least one person in Congo. Yeah, like I don't know too many people. I know a couple of people from Ghana. But I feel like the capacity is a lot more. And I think one of the things I want to do is when I'm finished here in China, like, you know, when I feel like Acado is at a level where it's like we've found product market fit, we're, you know, probably IPO'd at this time. One of the goals I want to have is I really am looking forward to having time. And I want to go back home and I want to see how to contribute to the community there. And I want to at least contribute towards like education in general. Because I feel like really smart chaps, man. They're some of the smartest people I know. And I think like this web development, like coding is like bread and butter for them. I'm sure they can like, we can pick it up and do amazing things with it. So I really want
that's to that's a thing that I can definitely that. Agree with you on.
Yeah.
Like there's some of the smartest people ever, but it's just a case of not having opportunities given to them. Like,
yeah.
Or just not having the insights or information that a lot of people have, because like there's so much that I can also attribute to being in touch with like a global community that I guess has brought me to where I am. And, like a lot of people aren't like don't have that connection, and not and it's not their fault. It's not like they're not trying enough. It's just it's just that's how things are, and I think they definitely need to change. And I'm really happy that that's something that you're looking forward to and you really want to do.
Yes, all right. And especially what you said just now about the, like, you know, being in touch with the global community, I think is absolutely powerful. I think Nigeria is doing well with it, but, you know, I feel like maybe the rest of us, like, are still maybe a bit behind. But I have no doubt that we can catch on. And we can be able to, because, like, you know, when you're in charge of the global community, it's easy for you to learn and also for you to contribute and find value and give value to the community. But if you don't have, like, that opportunity, or if you don't have that, like, level of like, access, I think, like, of course, you won't be able to, and you also won't be as enthusiastic about it. Today, like, I don't know many, like, I mean, unless you're aware of, like, the potential that you have with what you know and with, like, the things that you can create, it's very difficult for you to be excited about your work. It's very difficult for you to be excited about like coding, because you effectively have no like motive that gets you out of bed. So my desire and like is to like, you know, have people excited about their work, and because I know a lot of people, and you know, I think the shape of our industry, of our continent, or like many of the like governments, I can speak for Uganda, is that they don't put a lot of value on like this industry, right? Like tech in general. A lot of things are still like they are beginning to, but it feels a bit slow because it's kind of like top down with ideas that are old, trying to like work for like people with new ideas. And so
definitely, gatekeeping again.
Yeah. So like I feel like the people, like young people with the capacity, I feel are able to show value that. Is able to even convince, like, you know, our leaders. I believe that it can change, and I believe it can. And so once we like start to have that bit of momentum with people realizing what it is they can do and they can, you know, contribute, I feel like the value in the industry overall is going to increase. I feel like even opportunities, because now I think people will be curious of like, okay, what's going on down there? We hear there are so many amazing people. Let's just go over there and see. Already companies are trying to like hire people. I think Andela is doing something like this, right? So I think that we need to, and I know it's not an easy thing, you know, it's easier, much easier said than done to like bring an entire like massive, you know, continent or let alone an industry in general to like that same level is going to be a challenge. But I do think it's possible. I have no doubt in my mind. You know, I believe that if like a few individuals that are really willing and are committed to the cause and are able to like help inspire people, I think it's amazing. Like inspiration is a very powerful thing, Daniel. So yeah.
True. I think that's the word, inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think we need so many more success stories for people to look at software engineering, people to look at open source and say, this is something I know I can do and like dedicate parts of my life to, and it won't leave me homeless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm really excited to talk to you. I mean, you are doing open source, you are, you know, and you're still studying. Like, I think it reminds me of a tweet that I read this morning. Let me see if I can pull it up by Victor Asemota. I think it touches on something you mentioned. It says dear Nigerians, but I think this really should be dear Africans. Have some hope. Hope is not a strategy, but at least it makes you want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Despair is not a strategy, and there is no upside from it. It is defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Be optimistic and then determinate about outcomes. I think it really just touches on everything you said about being and like having motive, and you really can't have motive sometimes without inspiration. I think it's like people like you doing amazing things that people can look up to and say, yo, I also want to be like Jonathan. I want to do that. I know when I got into open source, not many people I could look at and say, yo, okay, this is something that's possible for me. And I know it sounds very trivial, but just making that association in our heads it's a turning point for so many people. And yo, seriously, doing awesome.
Oh man, you're so right. Cause like I was just looking at when you were talking about that, I was just like, you know, thinking about what I think his name you said was Victor, right? Victor, was it Semota? Is that what you said? Yeah, I think what he said is a really powerful thing. Just like having hope, like it's amazing. You know, there's this verse in the Bible, I can't help but quote this, but it says, you know, there is hope for a tree that has been cut down. Just at the smell of water, I think that's what it says. It says at the smell of water, it knows it's going to sprout up. And I think that's what a lot of our people just, you know, really need to have. To realize that, you know, yeah, you know, like, just really, you know, have like that like the smell of water. Have like people who, if like you said, like if you can see someone like, oh man, I want to be like Daniel when I grow up. I want to like see our young like girls, you know, coming up with like really interesting like solutions to problems. I want to see our young boys from deep in the village, you know, not afraid of like tech, because you know, recently, the other day I was reading an article and I saw this guy who came up with like an incubator for like babies, and he's writing his own software.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this, and he doesn't have like investment like resources and whatnot, but it's being used in like hospital all over Uganda, and like it's saving lives. Like when I saw that, like, man, I was like, this guy, I want to be like this guy. You know, like
seriously,
yeah,
imagine not having all the resources, not having all this tooling, the documentation, access, and being able to do amazing things like that.
Yeah,
and imagine what doors would be opened.
I'm imagine like this guy, and this guy is just like, he's like just doing his thing there, right? Like he doesn't have, he's an old guy, to be honest. Like he's not even like you know, like us in our 20s or 30s. Like he's in his 40s, and he's coming up with things like this. So like that tenacity, you know, like I'm telling you about, like like it's like, I don't know, like that energy. I'll call it that African energy. I don't know how to call it, because And, you know,
energy, grit, intuition.
Yeah,
it's,
you know,
it's
like that thing of like the desire to like bring something to maturity and to bring it, cause it to succeed. And you know, it's a really powerful thing. So I just really hope that it's coupled with like the right knowledge, with the right people, with the right opportunities, and it's amazing to see what will come up with. And I think the next 10 years, Daniel, are going to be very different. They're going to be very, very.
I think this is like the fifth, sixth time someone has said that on this podcast, either me or a guest.
Yeah.
The next 10 years will seriously be so interesting for the continent.
Oh yeah.
There's so many young people doing amazing things, and it's really great.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's one thing about open source that really inspires me, because it takes out so many of the issues behind traditional setups.
Mm.
If you look at, in terms of like income experience, it's just changing so much. Usually someone would have to be like, I need to go work at Microsoft in Silicon Valley if I need to be this level of software engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just changed so much, because I think at its core, open source is distributed in its contribution. It's not location specific.
Yeah.
And just the ability of, like, the fact that people can contribute from anywhere in the world is amazing, one. And then two, of late, I'm seeing it become the bread and butter for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at things like Patreon, if you look at things like Ko-fi or GitHub sponsors, there are people who've dedicated their like certain hours of their day to just building open source software, and they're making more than the average. And I think it's something I've been saying a lot, like, yo, GitHub sponsors, please work with like Adela Flutterwave or Paystack or like Zazu, and just like enable like Africa on the continent to get payments for their open source contributions, because that will open so many doors. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it really would.
If even just $200 a month can do so much for a person on the continent, not saying that they should be underpaid.
Mm. No.
They can get 2,000.
You're right.
But like,
you're absolutely
just
right.
2,000. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Like, you know, if, I think like you're saying, like, you know, $200, like, you know, I know a few people who are like making like tens of thousands a month on like open source software. Like, you know, of course, like it's not like the only motive. Of course, maybe they set out to like do something else, but like this is the kind of opportunities they have, and they are working at their own time, and they are able to like, you know, provide for their families and do even more. And like, if somebody make like even $200 is like good money in Uganda. It's like good money. You can live well, you can like walk and like travel, you can it's not like you really can't do like everything, but you can like, you have the necessities at home, and I'm sure if you have like a wife and kids and you're looking after, like, that can be good money to, you know, to have them at least have like food on your table every single day. Of course, like, no, not flashy, but like it gets the job done. But like that's motivation, that's like really good. So I when you're saying that, you know, like be open, like just that alone, if somebody can see that and they can believe that, you know what, like if my work can provide value to like this set of people, and somebody is paying me or contributing to me to like make this, to keep working on this thing, then maybe I need to think about how to monetize this thing, or think about like, I think what it does is now gonna open an opportunity for people to start thinking in a more entrepreneurial like perspective as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, because like it's not only, because I think like GitHub, like the sponsorships and like the coffees are like great and all, but I think they also, in my, you know, I've been analyzing this thing and I've been thinking, yo, if people are paying you to keep working on this thing, then they most likely will probably pay for a product around it, you know, kind of like what Tailwind UI, you know, did. And I think they did it, they executed it.
I, I've been really wanting to talk about that.
Yeah.
Are we going to see $1 million in sales for Chakra UI?
Oh yeah, you definitely will.
Mind.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you will. You will. Yeah. We've been like thinking about like we've been thinking about a few ideas, which I cannot say on this podcast now yet. But yeah, there's some really exciting like things coming. I think that and also with like so the React version is currently working on releasing the new TypeScript version, which exposes a really awesome like theming API, which we will also add to the Vue 3 version, because I wanted to work on this using the composition API that's in like Vue 3. So this new like API is going to be like opening a lot of opportunities general like building your UI. It's really going to change like the way people build like React applications or build Vue applications in general. And we're gearing towards having like a unified like a thing where it doesn't matter whether you React or Vue, you can still use Chakra or even Svelte or even like plain HTML. You can still use Chakra. So yeah,
I think that's an opportunity for anyone listening. By the way, I don't think a Svelte version exists. Like a Svelte native version of Chakra exists. So talk to Jonathan if you want to make that happen.
Oh yeah, definitely. And we're always looking for contributors. And like, you know, if because like, you know, of course, like right now, we don't have like somebody who is like a Svelte like expert, you know, on the team.
Yeah.
Because one of the things, you know, like we're gonna once we go into like this whole unification like thing, we're gonna need like people to kind of like help us write interpreters for different frameworks. Those are some of like the like a glimpse into what we're going into. Like some of it has been set in stone, some of it hasn't. But we're always happy to have like contributors, people to like share ideas. And, hopefully like this will, you know, I know in the future like one of the things we want to do is, you know, turn parts of this thing into like a product that people can pay for, because it's providing this much value to like, you know, companies and organizations. It's worth it to like pay, because like, this company is making, you know, how many millions of like dollars every year. What's a 10%? Or, you know, it's a small percentage. You know, you get what I mean.
I'm super glad that that's something on your mind. Because seeing everything going on in the open source space, to be honest, I really want Africa to be able to jump onto this, because I think the barrier for entry is much lower in open source than it is for a lot of other industries.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, if you look at the examples of like Next, for example, I think got the Series A, Gatsby got their Series B.
Yeah, isn't that amazing, Daniel? Like an open source like library
exactly
received funding. Like that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Even Tailwind funding, but like I think when they sold Tailwind UI, I think they're in that package. I think Adam, one of the co-founders, I think racked like 2-3 million in sales. Don't quote me on that, but I know it was a lot of money.
Yeah, like they raked quite a lot of money in, and like this that's good money. Like I know this, I know people who are like, okay, I think I have this money. Like in Africa, to be honest, like if you have that kind of money in the bank, like it gives you a lot of freedom, a lot of time, you know, to like do things and like see how can I help others. Man, you know, as I grow, I'm not saying I'm old, but like I think I've come to appreciate the value that time gives you. Yeah, you know, of course, right now we're working on Chakra UI, and like, you know, it's like something I'm actively working on. I'm working on a Kadu every day. But like, I feel like one of the goals for me is to have time. I want to be able to help people who need help. Like, it's something that has always been on my heart. Because it gives you also time to like really think, and also to contribute in places that need your contribution. So, time is a very important resource. So much as like, you know, money is important, like it's great. But if I can use my money to get me to have time, like that's awesome. People have different dreams. Yeah. People want to travel. Other people want to like do very specific things. Others want to like, you know, see, like, I don't know. I honestly, I'm not like a travel person, you know, but like, yeah, there's people who want to do all kinds of things. But like, for me, it's more of like, I want to be able to learn so I can help, you know, people in, especially in like in Uganda or in like Africa in general. I want to like see more young people like taking this rut or this tech industry. You understand? Like, literally.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah. So that's what I want to see. And that's why I think it's also a good idea. Like, if you can find a way, like, I know people will be criticizing, oh, you're doing open source. Why are you monetizing your thing? Like, it's supposed to be open source. Like, yeah, like, some part of it is open source, but like, at the end of the day, I have like
nothing wrong.
I have like a family to like feed, right?
You don't, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, you don't do that. I can't rely on that. I can't rely on only like contributions that are not like consistent to sustain me for very long. It can only be for a certain amount of time. And so, what you want to do is to, you know, at least turn it into something that's like consistent, that's sustainable, that you can turn into a product that you can sell. Yeah, like, and it's not a bad thing. It's really, and it's not difficult, especially now for us, like, who are like on the internet. I think we like $200 in your pocket, or even maybe $100. You can buy a domain name, you can build a product, you can that somebody might need. You can put it on a server somewhere. You can maybe post like a tweet, and like promote it or something if you want to, and. You know, you can have like a product, like a real serious product. I saw recently, I don't know if you saw Max Stoiber. Max Stoiber recently built like this thing called Feedback Fish. He did it in 55 mm-hmm. hours, man. Daniel, I was lit ablaze when I saw that thing. Oh gosh. What were you saying just now?
Like, just like everything you were saying.
Yeah.
That is just, for me, one thing I'm really passionate about is empowering the people on my continent, because like, there's so much potential and I don't want to see that just fade away.
Mm.
And if you look at things like what you said, like Max building an application in 55 hours, look at Chakra UI and how easy it is, like, or how much easier it makes web development. Plug that in with really awesome, like, back end like Strapi or Hasura, and put auth with auth zero and put it on Netlify, and you have it, and that's all free and open source.
Wow.
And you have a fully fledged application which you can charge for with like Stripe or Flutter or something. And you have, if you can market your post, I think Facebook gives you like $10 for free, and sell that to people and get like 20 people paying $10, and that's $200 on the first day, and do a bit of marketing.
That's an achievement.
And you have a startup.
Yeah.
Or a micro startup, and like the opportunity that technology has for people on the continent, even just around the world, is just amazing.
Yeah.
And I really just want more people to be availed of this information and just have hope and try, you know.
Oh yeah, you're very right about
like, yeah,
you're very right about that. Actually, if I may ask you something, Daniel, like, you know, I know you've been asking me, but it's not like me, but like, I'm now curious. I want to know how are you doing today, you know, like, what are you doing, what are you working you know,
what am I working on?
Yeah, like, yeah, I just want to know more about you. I know you've told me so much, like, I've told you a lot and like told me a lot about what you're aspiring for, but like, I think you've also piqued my curiosity. This is the first time we're talking. People are listening.
Yeah, it definitely is. I've loved this conversation.
Yeah.
It's also really funny because like, I've never, like, I don't think anyone on the podcast who's outside my Twitter knows about me and what I do.
No.
But I don't really talk about it. But yeah, what do I do? I'm a developer. I'm in developer relations, and I'm working with Strapi. I just started as a developer advocate with Strapi, which is amazing headless CMS, open source, fully open source CMS.
Amazing. And, we use Strapi at Ekadu.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're using it for our guide documentation.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you featured? Anyway, this is not about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm super passionate about like just helping people also. And I think that's really what got me into developer relations. I'm really intrigued by startups and the dynamics of everything. And that's something I see myself getting into later on in life. I really just like talk to people, find out what they're building. And like, I usually find myself connecting like a bunch of people because of all the conversations I have with people. And that was a major reason why I started this podcast. Like before, I used to have like the best conversations with people, and I would just get so much from them, and no one else could hear that. And I was like, more people need to be able to hear these things and be in these spaces, because I know like I feel very blessed to be able to talk to some of the people I talk to and just know some of the people I know. And extending that to a lot of people who listen is something that I would really love. I mean, like you, like this is, it's just been the most amazing conversation, to be honest. And it's the first time we're talking, and that's really nice. I really just want to amplify more voices, because inspiration, like you said, is really big. And I've been very intentional about the people I've been getting onto the podcast, looking at what they do, where they're from, and the vibe they give off. And you seemed like an amazing person whose story had to be told. And I'm so happy you had this conversation.
Oh, man, thank you, Daniel. I really appreciate that. You say a lot of nice things about me, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, seriously, like, I'm all for cheering people on, and like, if you're doing something amazing, I will sing you praises. So, yeah, that's about me.
Wow.
A glimpse, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you for the honor of, like, you know, of making your acquaintance. It's really, really amazing. And I feel now I also feel inspired, you know, like, now Daniel is, like, doing this. I also need to, like, do better. That's really cool. I'm very glad. I'm very, very glad.
That makes me sad. That made me smile.
Yeah, man.
Okay, I mean, wow, it's been a really good conversation, and I'm not even sure how long we've gone, but I think this is a really amazing note to end on. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for coming on and sharing your story and, yeah, chatting with me.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Daniel, and thank you so much to all the Rushing Forward listeners. Thank you for supporting Daniel and for always listening and for listening to me talk. And I know sometimes I can talk a lot, but I'm really grateful that
I'm here. I mean, it's good, you know, it's good to have a podcast host, a guest who talks a lot. Also, I need you to plug something. You can plug anything you want to plug.
Oh, yeah.
Where can we find you on the internet? What is the Chakra UI view website?
Okay, cool.
Akado, go ahead.
Cool, yeah. Currently, I am working on Chakra UI view, and what it is, it's a component library that allows you to build accessible Vue applications fast and flexibly. So head on over to vue.chakrauI.com and, you know, try out the library, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Another thing I'm working on as well is Ekadu. And what it is is a platform that's giving people around the world the opportunity to learn things in their own language. And so that is something that we believe at Ekadu. So if you have like meetings or you have like conferences or events and your audience speaks a different language, Ekadu is able to make it possible for both your online and online events to reach people of like different languages around the world. So we help you give your voice a global listener.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks again, Jonathan, for coming on. We really appreciate you. And keep on trailblazing.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll be trailblazing right after your track, Daniel.
Jonathan is gassing me up, everyone. Anyway, to the next episode. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Rushing Forward. Send us your comments and suggestions at Malgamves, MalGamVes, or CodecastZM.